Amen. Well, thank you very much. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, and on the subject of college football, let me find out something here real fast, all right? I don't know what kind of fans we have here this morning, but do we have any Iowa fans here? Can I hear you? No? Yes? Brother? All right. Pastor Ferguson? No? All right. Okay. All right. Do we have any Indiana fans here? All right. College football. All right. All right. You guys are doing pretty good. Undefeated. We have any Wisconsin fans here? All right. Pretty good. 1-0. All right. I hate to ask, but do we have any Michigan fans here? All right. Okay. Okay. It's okay, you're 1-2, it's okay, no problem. All right, as we move on here, Northwestern, any Northwestern fans here? All right, got some of those, all right. And any Notre Dame fans, all right? Yeah, 7-0, not bad. And I have to ask for the most important, do we have any Buckeye fans here today? All right. OH! All right, that sounds good, all right. The Spirit is moving right now, so this is good. Well, I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for this church, and I am thankful for this college, and I'm thankful for this Empowered Youth. First time for us to actually be here, to be a part of this. A few years ago, we brought a group by just for a day, just to be able to look at the college for the very first time, and my daughter is here in college, Abigail, and we're glad that she is here. And, of course, I just hired Levi Armacost, and he is on staff at our church. He's the principal. Is that kind of scary? All right. Maybe a little bit. And, of course, I have Sarah Olson at our church as well, and she teaches in our Christian school. So it's just a blessing, and I'm grateful to be able to know Brother Armacost, of course, Pastor Dameron, and just very grateful for this privilege and opportunity. I spent 12 years as an assistant pastor, and during that time, I was a youth director, and I enjoyed working with young people. We are still able to have Bible clubs in public schools, and we're very thankful for that. And I am asking God to do something in your life this week, but I'm also asking the Lord to do something in my heart and life as well. We come to Romans chapter number 8, and I want to preach to you on this subject this morning, and I want you to write this down, the title to the message, three words: Christ in you. Christ in you. Why do we have a conference like this or any other type of conference? Why do we want young people to come? Why is all the work and effort and labor that this church has gone into to make this possible? And the expenses, I believe it is because they want you to understand that, number one, you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but then as Christ indwells you in the person of the Holy Spirit, you can live a victorious Christian life. You see, all of us need to understand today, even if you are a child of God, and I pray that you know the Lord as your personal Savior. I came to know the Lord at the age of 17. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were faithful servants. In fact, my dad was a pastor for many years. In fact, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in the area of Halls, Tennessee. And it was the type of church where they voted on the pastor every year, whether he stayed or not. And one Sunday, my dad got voted out of church. I'll never forget that day. But God was in the midst of all that because he led us to a church where I could understand the truth, and I could come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And God began to work in my life. But after I came to know the Lord, I began to understand something, that I had a new nature within me, but that old nature was still there, called the flesh. And young person, this morning, every one of you, as a child of God, you still have that old man, the flesh that dwells within you. The Bible calls it the flesh. In fact, Paul said that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The flesh wants us to sin. The flesh wants us to go in a different direction. As the theme goes, it wants us to get out of line, per se. But I want you to know something this morning, that you also have the Spirit of God who indwells you. The Spirit of God who lives in you, the Bible says, Christ in you, will enable you to live the life that God has created you and saved you to live. This morning, Christ in you. Would you join me in a word of prayer? And then I want to read the passage together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, I thank you for every teenager that is represented here, every adult, every worker. Lord, I can remember sitting on pews much like these pews, listening and having you work in my heart. And Father, now for the next few moments, I pray that Christ would be lifted up here and that he would be glorified. Father, I pray that you would use the words, Lord, from this messenger. And Father, without you, I can do nothing. And I pray now that you would quiet our hearts and steal our hearts, and that today we could leave here with assurance, with confidence, and with great victory, knowing that Christ is in us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We come to Romans chapter number 8. Romans is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and it's specifically Romans chapter 8. And as we find some things in here, if you're in the habit of marking things in the Bible, I want you to find every time that it says, and I'll mark them out for you, where it says Christ in you, or we are in Christ, or we dwell in him. And notice it, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, notice it, in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, notice this, dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I believe that you have noticed already in these first 17 verses, Paul places a great emphasis on Christ in us, that Christ indwells us. And young people today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God does not indwell you today. You're not a child of God, but I want you to know something. You can become a child of God by putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He died for you and he loves you. But this morning, as we think of Christ in you, I want to give you some simple thoughts that I pray that God will help us. Number one, Christ in you is a permanent gift. It's a permanent gift. Now let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter number 14. Please know that at the moment of salvation, the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ, God imparts to us the Spirit of God that will indwell us forever. In fact, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed. And I want you to know today, you cannot lose the Spirit of God. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and my grandfather, we called him Papaw. I was his only grandson, and he was always getting things for me, most of the time that my parents never wanted me to have, you know? He gave me my first gun, 22 semi-automatic rifle. My parents had no idea about it. It was a good grandpa, you know, right there. And he bought my first motorcycle. Awesome grandpa, you know? And things my parents did not want me to have, but I was his only grandson. You know something? My papa used to call me Hank because he loved Hank Aaron baseball player, and I was Aaron, so of course I was different color. But anyway, he called me Hank. And but he said to me, he said, Hank, I'll tell you something. You'd lose anything, you know. And you know what? As a boy, my papa would give me a knife or something. I'd lose it. He'd give me something valuable. Usually I'd lose it. My sisters would steal it or whatever it may be. But, you know, the truth is, folks, if we could lose our salvation, every one of us would lose it. There's no question about it. But we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Christ in you today is a permanent gift. But I wonder, do we really know what we have? Do we understand what indwells us? Years ago, I read this story and I think about this man. His name was Phil Ozersky. This took place back in September, and Phil Ozersky, September the 27th, 1998, went to a baseball game. And there that day, he was just sitting with a group of friends, and on that day, Mark McGwire hit his 70th home run ball, 370 feet in the air, and it came right to Phil Ozersky, and he caught it. A very important baseball, and it marked a milestone there for Mark McGwire. After the game was over, the Cardinals asked Mr. Ozersky for the baseball. They said, I'll tell you what, we will give you a signed jersey, we will give you another signed ball, and that's what we'll give to you for that. And he said, no, thank you, I'll keep the baseball. Probably a few months later, Phil Ozersky took the baseball, and it sold in an auction for $3 million. Can I tell you something? I wonder, he thought, man, if I'd have given that away to the Cardinals, I would have had a signed baseball and a signed jersey, but I wouldn't have had $3 million. He knew that he had something very valuable. You know something? Most Christians forget the very idea that Christ indwells us. That the Spirit of God lives within us to enable us to live the Christian life. No, we will not be sinless this side of heaven, but we can be victorious. We can be abounding Christians because Christ in you is a permanent gift. John chapter number 14, please take note in this. And the Bible begins at verse number 16. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he speaks about the Spirit of God. John chapter 14, we begin in verse number 16. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I love that word, another. It means one just like me. Another comforter, that he may abide with you. What's the next two words? Forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye and me, and I in you. There is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is talking about how that Christ indwells us. It is a permanent gift. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And folks, I want you to know something. You have everything you need this morning as a child of God to live the Christian life victoriously. Christ in you is a permanent gift. By the way, it's a gift. It means that it was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that God has entrusted us with this gift of the Holy Spirit. It is something so valuable, so priceless. We think of Phil Ozersky. He could have given that ball away for something that maybe was worth a few hundred dollars. But he said, no, I've got something of greater value here. And he was set for the rest of his life because he understood the value of what he possessed. This morning, do you know what God has entrusted you with? The Spirit of God lives within you to enable you, to give you joy, to give you comfort, to bring conviction. But He is a permanent gift. Secondly, not only is Christ in you a permanent gift, but secondly, Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. Now, I want you to hear me out here just for a moment. I've been a pastor, as Pastor Dameron said, we'll celebrate 10 years next month at our church, that we've been at our church. And I love being a pastor. I thank God for it. But one thing that I did not really was prepared for was all the funerals. I've been a pastor for 10 years. I've done 124 funerals at our church. It's just been amazing. And in fact, the first year, I think I did two funerals a month. I told everybody, I said, I think everybody waited to go to heaven until I got here, you know. But you know, I remember so often those funerals and being in someone's home when a loved one has died. Can I tell you what I recognize maybe for the first time in my life? I recognize grief. I saw it. We had a precious family in our church, and a husband and wife, very young couple, and they had a daughter. She was beautiful, a lovely girl who knew the Lord as her Savior, and she used to always draw me pictures, and we just loved her. She was very precious. But one day she began getting headaches, and very serious headaches, and found out later that she had a brain tumor. And they did operation after operation, but nothing would help. And I remember the day that she passed away, and I was in their home. I saw a mom and dad grieve at the funeral. I remember after the funeral service was over, it was a difficult funeral, 10 years of age. And I remember when everyone had left and they were getting ready to take the casket out, to load it onto the vehicle, to take it to the graveside. It was just me and my wife, who had three children living, and that husband and his wife. And they began to weep and sob as they were closing the casket for the last time. Can I tell you what that was? It was grief. Grief. Well, let me tell you, the word that the Bible uses to talk about how we can grieve the Holy Spirit is the same word that, like a loved one, is grieving over the loss of life. I've seen parents grieve over their children going the wrong direction. I've seen pastors grieve over church members getting upset and getting off track and getting out of line. Grief is a part of us, and we see it and behold it. But do you understand this morning that you can grieve God, the Holy Spirit? Let's take the Word of God and let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, because Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. And by the way, Christ in you is a person. It is not a force. It is not an influence. It is not something. It is Christ in you. We believe in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And we are blessed today. And what a privilege that God has given to us as His people. He has entrusted us with this special gift that Christ indwells us. That enabling us to pray, enabling us to understand the Word of God, bringing us comfort and strength, and giving us strength to live the Christian life. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might because of Christ in you. You see, today, Christ in you can be grieved. There are two types of teenagers here today, and maybe we could say three types. The first, obviously, is a young person that does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. The Spirit of God does not indwell you. But every child of God here, there are two types. There are either Christians sitting here this morning that are living with an ungrieved Holy Spirit, or there are Christians living with a grieved Holy Spirit. Now, here's something to understand about grief. Folks, when you grieve God, the Holy Spirit, He cannot work in your life like He needs to work in your life. I believe the beginning message here in this conference needs that we need to be clean and right so that Christ in us can do the work that needs to be done. I'm just the messenger this week. I'm just the vessel. I thank God for the privilege and the opportunity. But I cannot change you and I cannot bring conviction. That is Christ in you that does that. It is the Spirit of God that brings regeneration. It is the Spirit of God that brings sanctification. Christ in you. But I wonder this morning, is Christ in you grieved? That's because you have no joy. That's why you have no peace. That's why you're not right with your mom and dad. That's why you cannot listen to the Word of God. Christ in you is grieved. Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 25. And let's notice what the Bible says. Ephesians 4 and verse number 25. We begin with this. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And look at this in verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Here, once again, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul is saying, don't grieve God, the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we do it? Well, God gives us a list here. You see, we can grieve God, the Holy Spirit, by many ways. Number one, notice that when a Christian lies, it grieves God. Young person, are you living a lie today? You appear to be dedicated, but in your heart you are not dedicated. You appear to be spiritual, but in your heart you are very carnal. You lie. You lie to your parents. You lie about the text. You lie about your viewing. You lie about different things. And let me tell you this. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And when we lie, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. I remember right after I had been saved, I was a changed life. It was a wonderful thing. I remember the day that I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. My mom and dad made me take the Bible to church, but after I got saved, I wanted to read the Word of God. And I remember what it was like that next morning. Boy, it was a new life to me. It was just a beautiful day, not really outside, but in my heart it was beautiful. And I grabbed the Word of God and I began to read God's Word. God began to speak to me. It was comfort. It was joy. Yes, it was conviction. The Spirit of God had free reign to work in my life. But I remember not long after that, my parents asked me something. And boy, I thought to myself, if I tell the truth, I'm in trouble. But if I lie, it may protect me. And I remember in that moment, I yielded to the flesh and I lied to my mom. I remember that moment. And in that moment, I sensed something within my soul that I had never sensed before. I had grieved God, the Holy Spirit. And I think every Christian here knows what I am talking about. How that moment we say something we should not say. You know you have just grieved God, the Holy Spirit. The moment we observe something and look at something and we don't turn away and we look at it on purpose that is dishonoring to Christ, we have grieved God, the Holy Spirit. Oh, folks, today, is the Spirit of God grieved within you? No wonder there's no joy. No wonder there's no direction and leading in your life. Because you have pushed Him aside into some corner of your heart. You've grieved God, the Holy Spirit. When a Christian lies, it grieves God. Number two, when a Christian has uncontrolled anger, it grieves God. Folks, may I tell you this, that God is not working in wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Folks, your anger. You know, I remember years ago when I was a youth pastor, we did our own teen camp. And we had a girl in our teen group who was troubled. Her name was Kathy. And I remember we were getting ready to leave for teen camp, and I saw Kathy yelling at her mom in the parking lot before we were loading up on the bus. I saw it. Treated her so terrible. Yelling at her, angry with her mom. But I remember just a few days later, I was new as a youth pastor. I'd just been in the ministry just a few months, getting a phone call from my pastor saying, "Brother Samples, you're going to have to get Kathy and get your wife together because Kathy's mom just died unexpectedly." I'll never forget sitting in that room with my wife by my side, Kathy. And by the way, by this time, she had gotten victory, some things right in her life, and the joy was back in her life. She was a child of God. And she was sitting there, and I never forget, she was like, "I can't wait to get home to tell my mom that I'm sorry." But we had to tell Kathy that day, "Kathy, I'm sorry, but your mom went home to be with Jesus." I'll never forget seeing her just literally uncontrollably. Yes, the grief of losing her mom, but the grief of knowing that the last words she spoke to her mom was anger and wrath. Folks, can I tell you this? The words that we speak in anger to our siblings and to our parents and to our friends, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. And God cannot work in our life like He desires to work with a grieved Holy Spirit. Number three, when a Christian steals, it grieves God. You know, it's amazing to me how often young people steal. They steal from their parents. They steal other time. They steal things. They take things that do not belong to them. By the way, when we think about the word grief, you know something? If a man noticed that he had money stolen from his wallet, he'd be angry. And we understand that. But if he knew it was his own son who took the money from his wallet, he would still be angry, but he would be grieved. What have you taken that does not belong to you? Young man, are you touching that young lady? You're stealing. Young lady, are you touching that young man? You are stealing. Are you looking at things on the internet that are dishonoring to Christ? You are stealing. You are taking things that do not belong to you. And may I say to you that when a Christian steals, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Number four, when a Christian has corrupt speech, it grieves God. Now, this word corrupt here that we find in verse number 29 of Ephesians chapter 4 is an interesting word. I don't know about you, but I love fruit. I love it. I love watermelon. I love peaches and oranges and all of that. Man, I love it. I enjoy it. But there is nothing that tastes or smells worse than rotten fruit. Nothing. I don't know if you've ever bitten into an apple that's rotten, and boy, I'm going to tell you, you spit it out quickly. Something that is supposed to be sweet and nutritious and nourishing, something that is supposed to be delightful, is nothing whatsoever. The word corrupt here refers to rotten fruit. How your words have effect, and how your words, in fact, the Bible talks about our words in James is like a fire, and how much a little fire can kindle. Young person today, what are the words that you talk about? What are the jokes that you tell? What are the things that are talked about when the youth leader is not in the room? What is the speech that comes forth from your mouth? And by the way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When a Christian has corrupt speech, it grieves God. Number five, when a Christian is bitter, it grieves God. I've worked with young people long enough to know this. I think I could preach on bitterness every Sunday and it would touch someone's life. Your mom and dad hurt you. They got a divorce. Someone abused you. Someone was unkind to you. Someone lied to you. Someone did not keep a promise. You're made fun of in the youth group. And bitterness can dwell within our hearts to where we grieve God, the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Folks, today, is there bitterness within your heart this morning? Bitterness for what you think should have happened to you? By the way, some young people are bitter against God. They think God has failed them. And by the way, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The very moment something happens in our life, a tragedy or a trial or something we think is not fair, the devil is quick to speak to our hearts and say, boy, God is not as good to you as he could have been. Boy, God must love someone else better than he loves you. Well, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he speaks lies to us. He throws his fiery darts at our hearts and minds. And some Christians are bitter. Years ago, I did a little test in my teen group. And I gave the young people a little piece of paper. And I said, don't put your name on it. I don't want to know who you are. And I said, I want you to tell me what you think about God. Well, you talk about the most revealing thing is to know what someone thinks about God. A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about your life is what you think about God. And I had young people come back. I don't think God loves me because he allowed my mom to die. Had young people write down, I'm bitter against God because of this. I'm mad against God. You see, the devil wants you to think wrong thoughts about God because he can get you off track in your Christian life. When a Christian is bitter, it grieves at God. Young person, I want you to know that Christ in you, yes, it is a permanent gift. And you are blessed this morning, a gift that God has entrusted us with. Do you understand how valuable, how priceless this gift is? That the Holy Spirit is our heavenly guest. He is listening to everything you say. He takes note of everything that you do. And any time that we are walking in disobedience to the Word of God, Christ in you is grieved. We have people in our church that have adopted children, and I think it's wonderful. I'm sure that there are many young people here this morning that maybe you've been adopted. But could you imagine just for a moment, let's say that a family adopts a child. Let's say that it's a 10-year-old child. Just use that illustration this morning. But let's say that the adoption goes through and this becomes their child, and they take the last name of those that have adopted them, and they bring this, let's say, young man into their home. And let's say that they say to him, there it is, son, there's your room. Your room and your bed, and that's for you there. And son, down here is the refrigerator and the living room and all of that. This is all of yours. But let me just tell you something real quickly. When dinner time comes, we'd rather you not sit around the table with everybody else. We'd rather you just take the food. It's all for you there, and go to your room and just be right there. And when it's time for us to get together and maybe watch a football game or whatever it may be, if you can just stay in your room, that would be better for us. Can you imagine the grief that new adopted child would have in his heart? Why? Because he's kind of pushed aside. But I wonder this morning how many of us, we are thankful that God has saved us and giving us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful for that. But God has entrusted you with the gift, Christ in you, that permanent gift. But you are grieving God, the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God begins to convict you about things that you are doing and things that you're a part of. The Spirit of God convicts you about your prayerlessness. And the Spirit of God deals with you about the Word of God and your lack of reading and studying the Word of God. But we push him aside. We say, no, go to your room, please. Go stay there. I'm going to live my life my way. We are grieving God, the Holy Spirit. I know what it is like when we came here yesterday and we saw our daughter for the first time after a few weeks. And boy, we hugged her, and she tried to hug her brothers, but they just kind of stood there. But anyway, you know how that is. And but could you imagine how it would hurt my daughter if we said, no, Abby, it's OK. We love you now, Abby. We care for you, Abby. No, she wants acceptance. She wants love. And we want the same thing. But how often the Spirit of God is going to speak to your heart this week at this conference. But if we push him aside, if we say, no, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to surrender to that place. We grieve God, the Holy Spirit. And the work that God wants to do in your life, he cannot do. We see, number one, Christ in you is a permanent gift. Number two, Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. But number three, and lastly, Christ in you is the power of God. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go back to Romans chapter number 8, because I want to show you something very important. We come to Romans chapter 8. We notice that Christ indwells us. He lives within us, enabling us. When I first came to know the Lord as my Savior, I got a little mixed up about things. I thought the harder I tried, the better I could be. The more I could strive. It's amazing. We know that we are saved by faith, but then we think we don't have to live the faith life any longer. And I began to struggle as a Christian. I was trying to do it in the flesh. But the Apostle Paul said that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that the flesh never gets better? Do you know that you never clean up the flesh? Do you know the flesh does not get more obedient? The flesh is at enmity against God. That's why some young people, man, they're struggling. I'm struggling so bad, Brother Samples. I just can't seem to get it together. But let me tell you this. Oftentimes it is because we are trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. I've got news for you. God never asked you to live the Christian life. He asked you to let Him live the Christian life through you. That's the key. Christ in you. And when I understood the principle that Jesus indwelled me and He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake me. He told me that He would be with me. He would not leave me comfortless. But when I understood and I began to yield to the Holy Spirit, I began to read and study His precious word. And this is the Spirit of God's tool to work in our life, to cleanse us, to chasten us, to make us more like Christ. When I began to understand, it was not me. It was not me in my flesh, because I could never live the Christian life. But it was Christ in me. Christ in you. Oh, listen today. You may have come to this conference defeated, discouraged, and thinking, I'm done, I'm over. But I want you to know something. Christ in you is not defeated. Christ in you is not discouraged. Christ in you has all power, because it is the power of God. Notice back in Romans chapter 8, and we're not going to read everything once again, but now let's emphasize the power of God, Christ in you. We come back to Romans chapter 8, look in verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, let me stop and I'll read on in just a moment. But you know, before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had to obey sin and death. You just had to obey it, because there was nothing within you. There was no spirit indwelling you to enable you to live a victorious Christian life. But now you have been made free. You don't have to obey the lust anymore. You don't have to obey the flesh anymore. Yes, we do at times, and we fail at times, and I fail at times. But thank God there is cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the power of Christ indwells you. Let's read on. Come to verse number 10 of Romans chapter 8. Notice what the Bible says. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. I love that word. It means to be made alive. Quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Let's read on. Look in verse 27. Our verse 26, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We go on in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Folks, throughout Romans chapter 8, we find that it is Christ in us that enables us to live the life that God has intended for us to live. This morning, I want you to know Christ in you is the power of God. This becomes a matter of obedience, yielding to the Holy Spirit, making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. Folks, every one of us, I pray this morning that we will come before God and say, God, whatever you deal with me about this week, I will obey you. We're already predetermining to obey the Lord. This morning, we ought to say, Holy Spirit of God, put your finger on anything in my life that does not belong there and that grieves you, and I will confess it and forsake it. And if you do, can I tell you what you'll have? You'll have the power of God. You'll have freedom. You'll have liberty, because the truth shall set you free and give you freedom and victory in life. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Can I tell you what that abundant Christian life is? Christ in you, living his life through you. Folks, the Holy Spirit is God's eternal presence in your life and God's eternal resource for your life, day by day, guiding you and directing you, enabling you to take a stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Folks, this is not a matter of Christ helping you to live your life. That's not what this is about. It is a matter of Christ living his life through you. You know something, if you study the great missionaries and the great preachers and the great servants of God of years gone by, I'm going to tell you what you'll find. You'll find them living with an ungrieved, yielded Holy Spirit in their life. That's what you'll find. You'll find them just average, ordinary people. People that really didn't have great talents and great abilities, but they were people who understood that Christ indwelled them and that they were simply a vessel and they yielded themselves to the Lord. I want you to know something, young person. The Christian life is not a list of rules and do's and don'ts. That's not what the Christian life is. The Christian life is a person and his name is Jesus Christ. Christ is the Christian life and he indwells you, enabling you to live the life that God wants you to live. Folks, he moved in at the moment of salvation to live his life through you. Today, I'm going to tell you this. I know I came to a point in my Christian life. I was so frustrated. I just couldn't seem to live the Christian life. Sin seemed to still have such a strong hold in my life. Habits that I was used to, I just couldn't break. But when I came to the point of desperation for the Lord, and I said, God, I can't, but you can. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Young person, this morning, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to listen to me very closely. First, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does Christ indwell you this very moment? And look, let's begin this conference by this. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you're not a child of God, then that's the very beginning point right there. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants you to be saved. But today, if you are a child of God, do you know the gift that God has given you? Maybe some of you have just neglected the gift. What if Phil Ozersky had taken the baseball and thrown it in the drawer in his home and just left it there? What if he'd just taken it home and played with it outside and after a while threw it away? It was too valuable for that. And some of you are playing with something so valuable. You are neglecting the gift of the Holy Spirit. But some of you are in this building here and you have a grieved Holy Spirit. And I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit knows what it is. It might be your lying. It might be your viewing. It might be your stealing. It might be the way you treat your parents. Whatever it may be, you're grieving God, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. God will never do in your life what he wants to do unless you yield to the Spirit of God. But today, maybe some of you are just frustrated. Some of you are just like, I'm hopeless. Well, let me tell you something. God has brought you to the end of yourself to find that Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the way. Christ in